Hello, this is Sean Kennedy. I'm the Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm very pleased to be speaking today with Dr. Terry Fulmer. Terry is president of the John A. Hartford Foundation. She's the former dean for the New York University College of Nursing and widely recognized as an expert in care of older adults. And I'm speaking with Terry because she is the author of the Viewpoint article in the November issue of the American Journal of Nursing. And in this, she advocates for elder abuse training for all nurses, similar to what many states now require for recognizing and reporting child abuse. Listen in now on our conversation in which Terry talks about who perpetrates child abuse and how it can be recognized.
The perpetrators of purposeful abuse, often are the caregivers, correct?
That's true. So when one thinks of this, elder mistreatment is generally the way that we describe it is an event that happens at the hand of someone who is known to the older person. If it's stranger violence, it's completely a different thing. If somebody were to mug you on the street, that's not mm-hmm. elder abuse. And in fact, I often say to people that it's not a good idea to relabel things, and I'll give you an example. Sexual assault or rape, anything of that nature, is already against the law. You don't talk about that as a form of sexual exploitation of the older adult, because it just becomes more convoluted and confusing. But when we think about these actions and the way that we can address them, you should be thinking about whether it's care by a professional. If the care was given by a nurse, for example, versus a well-intended caregiver, perhaps a 90-year-old spouse who thought the best thing to do was to leave mm-hmm. somebody stationary in their bed rather than turn them in order to avoid pain and therefore a pressure ulcer. So it's complex, mm-hmm. and nurses certainly have this extraordinary opportunity to do that assessment.
Mm-hmm. And currently today, there are mechanisms and reporting channels that nurses can go through that exist already today, correct?
Yes. And so every clinical setting should have a protocol for the reporting of any kind of family violence, whether it's children, women, elderly, and if they don't, they need to get one in place. Having said that, once you do your internal screen for older people, you have the Adult Protective Service System in the United States where that call goes in, and for example, if you're in any given state, there'll be a hotline that will help you go through an assessment, and you turn it over to APS, and they'll go out and do the assessment.
And you mentioned screening, and I know there are several good screening tools, and actually one of them you wrote for us in AJN.
Yes. So I am very proud of our elder assessment instrument, where we have used it for screening in the clinical setting for many, many years, and it's one that works very well for clinicians. I would say that, in my opinion, at this point in watching the field, it really doesn't matter which screen you use as long as you use one.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would advocate for a single item screen. Al Jetty and John Wasson talked about single item screening. It's better to ask at least one question rather than to ask none. So the question is often, do you feel safe at home?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very good way to start the conversation with older people.
Mm-hmm. Are there any, if there are no outward physical signs, but the nurse is suspecting something going on between a family member, or a family member is kind of taking control of, or not a family member, caregiver, I don't want to keep talking about family members, has kind of taken control of this elder person who may or may not be cognitively intact. What are the, are there any cardinal signs that the nurse can kind of look at or look for?
That's a great question. And, there's a whole area of psychological abuse which needs much more research for us to be comfortable with any sort of specific answers. But we do know that when it comes to older people and this issue of cognitive decline, the number of older adults who suffer from dementia is increasing rapidly, and people with dementia are at much higher risk to be victims of a scam or neglect or some other forms. Nearly one in two people with dementia experience some form of abuse by others. We know that. So I would say every nurse should be particularly vigilant with older people who are cognitively impaired.
Well, Terry, I want to thank you for spending a few minutes with us and just highlighting some of the material that you do cover in the Viewpoint. I hope our readers will, or viewers, since we're online and on the iPad as well, will really look at the Viewpoint and think about the elders that they meet in their daily practice. So thank you again very much.
Such a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity, Sean.